with me today. Lord Jesus, it's such a privilege to gather here before your word, and we ask that you, by your Holy Spirit, would speak to us, that you draw near, that you'd open up your truth and your love to us. In Jesus' name, amen. In California, in 2012, Irvin McInnes, a 21-year-old rap musician, drove a car full of people through a red light, lost control, and crashed into a wall. He and the four other people in the car died. In the last tweet he sent before his death, he wrote that he was driving 120 miles per hour and that he was drunk. The last word in his tweet was YOLO. You only live once. While YOLO reminds us of an important truth, that our lives are brief, that we're only passing through, that we should make the most of every moment in which we live, some psychologists are pointing out that teenagers are increasingly using YOLO to justify extremely risky and dangerous behavior. Yes, you only live once. If you didn't know that today, this is an important truth for you to realize. We only live once. It is true. But let this fact inspire you to live wisely, not foolishly. Let YOLO inspire you to allow God to use your life for an eternal purpose. Ancient Rome had its own version of YOLO. In the first century before Christ, the Roman poet Horace wrote an ode that argues that because life is short and we do not know how long we will live, we should live wisely and seize the day. Carpe diem. According to Horace, we should try to squeeze as much enjoyment out of each moment that we possibly can, because our short lives are rapidly passing us by. The Israelites, many years before Horace wrote these words, exemplified this very attitude. In Isaiah 22, we read that they turned their backs on God. They did not listen to his calls for repentance, but rather lived for pleasure, saying, "Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." Indeed, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:32 that this is the proper attitude if and only if Christ did not rise from the dead. If, though, Christ did rise from the dead, as Scripture claims, then a whole new reason and purpose is given for making the most out of life and seizing the day. Instead of seizing the day by living for the pleasure of the moment, Ephesians 5 instructs us to live wisely and seize the day by understanding God's will. Today we continue our series in Ephesians by turning again to chapter 5, where Paul portrays the stark contrast between what life is like when it is lived apart from Christ and when it is lived with Christ. Last month we learned that God calls us to imitate himself as dearly loved children by living a life of agape love, which Christ models for us. This life of agape love contrasts with the life of porneia lust, which characterized our life before we came to Christ. Our old self before we knew Christ was filled with darkness, and our new self is flooded with light. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5, 8 through 9, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." In chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, Paul adds a new description of this contrast between life without Christ and life with Christ, that of folly and wisdom. Today we will consider Paul's instruction to live wisely and seize the day. We will see that the key to living wisely and seizing the day is to understand the Lord's will. In Ephesians 5:15, Paul tells us, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Some have translated this verse as saying, don't live like ignorant people, but like people who are wise. Now, what type of ignorance is Paul talking about here? He's warning us about the type of ignorance that misses the point that he's been emphasizing again and again in Ephesians. The type of ignorance that fails to recognize the profound difference between life with Christ and life apart from Christ. He's warning us about the very real danger of failing to distinguish between our old self, the life of darkness we once lived, and our new self, flooded with the light and the love of God. He's warning us of the danger of thinking that there's not that much difference between the life of porneia lust, from which Christ saves us, and the life of agape love, to which God calls us, and that Christ models for us. To fail to recognize these distinctions, to live as though there is no contrast between our old self and new self, darkness and light, porneia and agape, is to live in ignorance without wisdom. Paul tells us, be very careful then how you live. See to it that you walk through life in a way that models the deep wisdom of God, rather than the crass ignorance of the world around you. Be very careful that the way you live demonstrates that you recognize the difference between your old self and the new self, darkness and light, porneia and agape, and that you allow God, by the power of the Holy Spirit living within you, to enable you to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, which exudes the light and agape of God. Paul then tells us, in his own way, to seize the day. He says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. To be wise, to be one who correctly distinguishes life with Christ from life apart from Christ, enables us to seize the day, to make the most of every opportunity. It's so interesting in the Greek that this phrase, make the most of every opportunity, is an idiom that communicates a picture of making purchases in a marketplace. Now, some of you have relatives who know how to bargain. Am I right? Raise your hand. Can I get an amen? You have relatives, they know how to bargain. They don't care if that car is $10,000, they're getting it for $3,000. They know how to bargain. Paul is telling us here that we should live in such a way that we make the best possible use of all circumstances, like smart merchants. When I served at a Filipino-American church in Los Angeles, my youth had a rock band called Kairos, which is the Greek word for a moment, a point in time, a season that will pass. And this is the same word, kairos, that is found in our passage today that is translated as opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity, every kairos, every moment that will pass. My youth would introduce their band by saying, we're kairos, now is the time. And then they'd tear into their hard rock set. It was very cool. You'd have to be there. Kairos, now is the time. Every moment we are given in this life is indeed precious. We're to take full advantage of each one. You can hear an urgency in Paul's voice at this point. He wants us to live lives that matter for eternity. Lives that bless other people. Lives that contribute to God's kingdom. Why is Paul so urgent? because the days are evil. By saying that the days are evil, Paul doesn't mean that life is just difficult or you're going to have hardship here and there. No. By saying that the days are evil, he's reminding us that the age in which we live is morally corrupt. We live in an era dominated by the old self of sinful flesh rather than the new life of God's Spirit. We live in an era filled with darkness rather than light, filled with porneia lust rather than agape love. For this reason, because the days, the times we live in are evil, we must make the most of every opportunity. What should we do, though, to make the most of every opportunity, to seize the day? How do we do that? Colossians 4, 5 through 6, at this point, helps us see more fully how we are to make the most of the opportunities that God gives to us. Now remember that Paul wrote Colossians and Ephesians at around the same time when he was in prison in Rome. And so he had similar ideas going through his mind, and the Holy Spirit was using him to say similar things to various churches. In Colossians, Paul writes, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity." The same phrase we find in Ephesians. He then goes on to say in Colossians, "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." According to Colossians, the way we express our wisdom by making the most of every opportunity, by seizing the day, is by telling those who do not yet know Christ about his truth and his love. We are to look for and take advantage of every opportunity God gives us to communicate to others the friendship with God made available to us through Christ's death and resurrection. Returning to Ephesians 5, we learn that we must make the most of every opportunity. We must seize the day because of the moral corruption and evil of our age. And this fact, the evil of our age, increases the urgency of our message. We allow the light of God's agape love and our new life in Christ to shine forth in a dark and corrupt day, praying that God will use our witness, according to Acts 26:18, to open people's eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in Jesus Christ. Paul then, at this point, shares the key that will guide us in living wisely and seizing the day. In Ephesians 5:17, we read, "Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Put another way, if we understand what the Lord's will is and act upon it, then we will live wisely and seize the day. How, though, can you and I know what God's will is? Out of all the questions I'm asked as a pastor, this is one of the most common. How can I know if I should date this person or that person? If I should accept this job or that job? Should I choose this major or that major? On and on it goes. I'm asked, how can we know God's will? As you can imagine, many books have been written on this topic. But this morning, I want to highlight two simple things about discovering the will of God. First, always remember the promise of James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. I mention this periodically, perhaps because I feel personally there are so many moments in which I lack wisdom This is a very important verse. James 1, 5-7. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, James writes, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown back and forth by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. According to this passage, God promises to give wisdom to everyone who asks Him with a heart that believes He will give it. We ask God for wisdom with hearts full of expectancy that He will, in fact, answer our prayer. Why? Because God has promised to do so. We can take God at His word. Second, remember that God is always more interested in your relationship with Him than He is in giving us answers for our lives. As our relationship with God deepens, our understanding of God's guidance will also deepen. But remember that God usually does not give deep, profound guidance to someone who is casual, flippant, or uncommitted in their relationship with Him. Romans 12, 1-2 is helpful at this point. In that passage, Paul first speaks of us offering ourselves to God in surrender and worship, which underscores the intimacy of our relationship with God. He writes, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice to God, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." After he reminds us to offer ourselves to God, reminding us of the intimate relationship that God calls us to have with Himself, Paul then reminds us that living in relationship with God entails transformation. We cannot draw near to God without experiencing profound transformation, the surgery in our souls that we talk about. Paul writes, next, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds." The third step, finally, he teaches us that as we pursue our relationship with God and experience this transforming work of God in our lives, then we will understand His will and experience His guidance in our lives on a day-to-day basis. Paul writes, then you first know God intimately, you are in the process of experiencing this transformation, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Today, if you feel that you lack God's guidance, I encourage you to examine your relationship with Him. Are you surrendering your life to God, allowing Him to put to death your sinful flesh and to call you to the newness of life in the Spirit? Are you allowing Him to transform and mold you to be more like Christ? Are you walking closely with Him day by day? As you pursue your relationship with God and allow Him to transform your life, you will find that you have all the guidance you need, step by step, as you need it. And as you understand the Lord's will by asking Him for wisdom with a believing heart and by drawing near to Him in deep relationship, allowing Him to transform you, you will be able to live wisely and seize the day. Recently, I've watched a few episodes of the History Channel's new show, Alone. 10 survival experts are each isolated in the harsh environment of Vancouver Island. They each only have about 10 items, and they must film themselves as they go through their days. The one who can survive the longest without calling for evacuation wins $500,000. During the first week, more than half of the contestants were evacuated. I was especially struck, though, by one of the final four survivors, a man in his early 30s who uses brilliant survival strategies and displays stunning ingenuity. Several times during his monologues in front of the camera, he's made this statement: "I want to do something great. I want to do something great. I want to do something great." He's driven by a longing to achieve something significant in a short time on earth. YOLO. You only live once. True greatness, though, true significance, can only be found in living each moment in relationship with Jesus Christ for His kingdom, for His glory. So live wisely. Seize the day by understanding God's will. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you that you call us to seize the day. That you understand more than anyone how brief our life on earth is. And you want, even more than we do, for us to live a life of significance, a life that counts, that matters for eternity. Lord, I pray for everyone here that we would have the heart of wisdom to allow you to so transform us that we could receive your guidance step by step as we need it, so that we can live a life of wisdom and seize the day. In Jesus' name.